This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. It's time for our monthly rundown of the restaurants that have opened and the ones that have closed in the St. Louis area. Joining me now is STLPR digital editor Jessica Rogan. Jessica, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And we also have STLPR morning newscaster and host of The Gateway, Abby Larico. Thank you, too.
Always.
All right, so we typically start these rundowns with openings, but there's one particular closing that warrants the first spot today because of how long the restaurant was in business and how beloved it was, and that's The Buttery in Tower Grove South. Jessica, tell us first what the food at The Buttery was like.
So The Buttery was your classic St. Louis diner, open late or early, depending on your perspective, and it was, I think, considered one of the best places to get a slinger in town. Mm-hmm. If you haven't had a slinger, I mean, what's wrong with you? But it's it's eggs, hash browns, onions, cheese, meat, and chili or gravy. And it is one of St. Louis's favorite foods for soaking up the booze.
Also, I had no idea that this is a regional thing.
You know, now that I think about it, maybe I had thought about, or maybe I knew that, but mm-hmm. It's kind of like a Midwest poutine, Elaine, right?
Oh,
like a little bit with all the...
I don't know. That could be controversial. It depends what form the cheese is in. So people were going there at very many different hours. Why else did people have such a soft spot for this place, Jessica?
Well, it had been around a long time. When it closed, I tried to look up exactly when that was, and the closest I got was decades, maybe the 70s. And, you know, it had opened and closed a few times. Like, it closed briefly during COVID, got retrofit. There was a fire there, and it reopened. But it just persisted again and again. And so when it closed, I think some people thought, oh, it's not really over, but
yeah,
it is.
Well, and what is it that led to the close this time?
Yeah, so the longtime owner, Ed O'Day, passed away. And, you know, that is definitely something that closes a business. Mm-hmm. One of the longtime employees, Brian Kerbau, who, if you had gone there, he is the overnight cook known for wearing a pistol on his hip.
Oh.
All on the job.
Okay.
So he's one of the characters of The Buttery, but he was sort of appointed the, not the successor exactly, but like the person to carry out the rest of the mission. So he told the St. Louis Business Journal that they would be trying to sell the building turnkey. You know, it had gotten renovated not too long ago because of the fire I mentioned. So hopefully someone will take up the reins there, whether it's The Buttery living on or just another great late night spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and St. Louis sees its late night spots being revived. Uncle Bill's, another one of those places.
The
Eat Right Diner
is now
for STL.
Yeah.
But a lot of them have just ended, unfortunately, mm-hmm. Like Courtesy Diner.
Yeah.
On Kings Highway is now a chicken spot.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, so.
True. I don't know. I still have hope.
Okay, me too.
So we are here in December. Farmers markets are now closed, but there is one spot that that people have been waiting for to open in a brick and mortar, and that's a spot that used to get lines and lines of people at the Tower Grove Farmers Market, right, Jessica?
That's right. So this is T-Rack Thai, which is now open in Shaw in what had been Sweetheart Space. And if you had gone to the Farmers Market, you know, basically since 23 when it, you know, first launched, mm-hmm. You would have seen this huge line and thought, there's no way I'm waiting in that, but it would have been worth it if you had done so. And I think we've seen again and again that the Farmers Market is like a great place for, you know, new restaurants to try out their thing. And then, you know, open a brick and mortar, and that's what's happened here.
Mm-hmm. Have you been to T-Rock Thai yourself, Abby?
Well, I've had it at the farmer's market, yes.
Yeah,
and to
yeah.
Jessica's point, it's absolutely something that is worth the wait, like so many of those offerings there. And so hopefully now visitors to that brick and mortar location can say, I knew you when. I knew you went at the farmer's market, so. Mm-hmm.
Some bragging rights there.
Yeah.
So there is a place that is, it's kind of a reopening or reunion of sorts, and it's a spot that is open now in Midtown.
Yeah, it's kind of an elevation, I would say, for some of St. Louis's kind of hardest working, I'd say, kitchen staff and restaurateurs, scouts in Midtown.
Mm-hmm.
And they are the team behind Dinner at the Loft, Biscuit Joint, which has become a pretty popular breakfast spot here in St. Louis. So this has kind of been long awaited, and I haven't had the chance to step inside yet, but it is a gorgeous space. And it kind of reminds me of a home, like a house,
mm-hmm.
because of the, it looks like a living room in the entryway lounge area. Then they have a large table that can accommodate up to 14 people, actually.
Oh, wow.
So this could be a good option if you are gathering with friends or family this time of year but don't really want to do it in your house.
Mm-hmm.
It is a fine dining operation, though, and they have, you know, handmade pastas, shared plates, so kind of family-style dining as well. So this is a very versatile team behind this. If they have a not only kind of a more catering at-home dining experience, breakfast, now adding fine dining to their list.
Mm-hmm. There is a place that is sort of closing or reopening. There's a new concept there, and it's in the Central West End. This is Session Taco. Jessica, tell us about what's happening at that location.
So if Session Taco doesn't sound totally familiar to you, think Mission Taco.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, less than 6 months ago, Session Taco reopened in the Central West End. It had been forced to close to rebrand because of a lawsuit from Mission, which is like the big, like, national burrito.
Tortillas,
all that kind of stuff. And they had chosen Session basically because it was kind of similar to Mission. And I no word if that worked out or not. But they, regardless, they have closed last month so that they can rebrand as Lopez Mod Mex, which is wood fire cooking, some Spanish influences, cocktails, and plan to reopen sometime this month.
Mm-hmm. And I think there's a connection also to Milagro, which was in Webster Groves. Is that right?
So, yeah. So that was the first concept from the owners of Session Taco. And I, you know, I was looking it up, this up. I saw a quote from them being like, it was a great concept in a terrible location.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're saying like, this is like the spiritual successor of that restaurant, but with a good location.
Mm-hmm. One of the things, as far as location goes, there is another outpost of a very popular Vietnamese restaurant that was, I think, in the same plaza or does still do business there, and that's Didi Mao. They are taking over the space that was Weber's Front Row, I believe, and it's a much bigger spot. But it's really interesting to see how restaurateurs will either tweak a concept or take it to a new place or to a bigger space so that they can serve more customers. There's a spot in Clayton that is doing more with the space they already have. And this is a place that you would go to for drinks, right, Abby?
Oh, absolutely. And it's the time of year where pop-ups are kind of occupying certain spaces in various places. This isn't quite a pop-up, but it is within a pre-existing location. It's Sasha's Wine Bar on De Munn, so yes, their Clayton location. They've converted the upstairs to the Cellar Bar. So this, again, it's not a pop-up, but it's a few nights a week. So it'll be Wednesday through Saturday nights from 5 to 11. And it also has a very wintry feel of elevated yet cozy is how they describe it. It's a fireside lounge. And they've also modeled after the idea of a cellar raid. So what would happen if you had access to one of the best wine cellars in town and could just drink it by the glass? That's what they're trying to bring to life here. Wines by the glass that aren't typically part of that option on a beverage program, as well as different whiskeys, other nightcap-oriented cocktails. It's that area of Des Moines that is a lot of different businesses, and so I can definitely see this being another good option for folks in the neighborhood or after eating dinner at one of the other, at Sasha's or one of the other restaurants in the area to kind of stumble into and have your nightcap there.
Yeah, and that is right by Louis,
yes.
A very well-known restaurant.
The entrance for this particular section, Cellar Bar, is right next to Louis.
Mm-hmm. We're talking today with Abby Lurico and with Jessica Rogan. We're doing our monthly rundown of St. Louis area restaurant openings and closings. So, Abby, you just mentioned a pop-up, not pop-up. One of the places that I have been to recently is a relocation of the Passport Craft Cocktail and Wine Bar. It was in downtown West. It's now in the Del Mar Loop. And they also began, actually, with a pop-up or mobile cocktail bar called Pour Decisions, P-O-U-R. We talked with the founders here on the show. I went by there. It is definitely cozy. There's kind of an upstairs area, and they've got like a wine program and everything. I think it is a great addition to that strip on the Del Mar Loop. And it has a very different vibe, I think, from what the rest of that area is like. Speaking of vibes and cozy and providing something that is necessary and different, Jessica, you wrote about Ozzy's Market in downtown West, which was the former home of Passport. Tell us what's going on there.
Yeah, so I don't know if I would describe Ozzy's Market as cozy so much as striking.
Oh, okay.
So this is a what the owners are calling bodega-inspired cafe. So it is a little quick-service breakfast and lunch place and a market in the style of a bodega to like run in and get some basics that you might need. And it's from Kenny Marks and Casey Colgan of Kenny's Upstairs, which is this celebrated Tower Grove South bar. And also Helen Petty of the Grove Salon Chop Shop and Joe Stein, who is kind of the guy making all the bread around town that you love so much, but maybe don't know his name. And it is the restaurant. I say it's striking because it's like totally green. It's almost monochrome. And they did that on purpose and has this kind of like retro vibe to it. So, you know, driving by, you can just kind of be like, whoa, but in a good way. And just very delicious fast food. It's something the neighborhood, they thought about like what the neighborhood needed. There are already bars, but there was no place to like just get some good eats for downtown workers or hotel guests. And they have things like, you know, you forget your dental floss and you're in a hotel, you can run down there and get it.
So maybe cozy in like a nostalgic way.
Yeah.
The idea of being able to walk through the neighborhood and get what you need, especially on days like today.
Okay, good point.
Yeah.
And I think maybe personally, because I grew up in like with variety stores in my family, that is cozy to me and and vibrant. So in Alton, there is a place that is also supplying something that people clearly seem to have needed, and that's Pizza by the Slice. Abby, tell us about this spot.
It's needed in Alton because Alton is really experiencing a lot of, I don't want to say revitalization, but a boost to its downtown. Mm-hmm. And when you think about, I don't know, the cozy walking around the neighborhood, what's needed in the neighborhood, sometimes you just need a slice of pizza and to keep it simple. So OB Slices is a new outpost for exactly that. OB, by the way, stands for Olive and Basil. Those are two dogs. So anytime a place has a cute name like that, want to give it a shout out, especially if it's their owner's pups. This is an iteration of the owner's home hobby, actually learning how to make pizza at home. Now they're firing up their pizza ovens to serve pizza by the slice for people patronizing the businesses around downtown Alton.
Mm-hmm. And is that a late night spot or daytime? Do you know?
A little bit of both. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Late night Alton is kind of been a thing we've been talking about,
yes,
right?
We have.
Right. So, and that's in reference to the city council recently determining that starting next year, the late night liquor licenses will no longer be a thing there. You can still go out, though, till like 1 o'clock.
Yes. Which you know, that's positively early.
That's late enough for me.
Yeah. And again, that's OB Slices,
yes,
in Alton. One place I do want to mention in O'Fallon, Missouri, is a place called Dirty Pop. And it's a soda that's mixed with syrups, you know, cream or fruit. I first tried a Dirty Pop when I went to visit Bear Lake in Utah, and that is no coincidence because Dirty Pop is very popular among folks who are Mormon, and I have a Mormon family, and that's who introduced it to me. There's some excitement around this, right?
Oh, definitely. I mean, they were literally a pop-up and transitioned to a brick and mortar for a reason, because people can't get enough of it. And I'm curious, like, you're famously don't like super sweet food. How did you like Dirty Pop?
You know, we had a combination of Dr. Pepper and vanilla. There was strawberry and cream. And it was surprisingly, like, not as sweet as we thought it would be. It might have also been the amount of ice, but it was really refreshing. So, yeah. It definitely was something that I enjoyed and am kind of excited to see now in this region.
I'm just thinking about the NSYNC song. I don't know if anybody else does.
Which pop?
Dirty Pop. That
oh,
one?
I don't
baby,
know.
Baby, baby, you can't stop. All right. We can't afford the rights
we'll
to that one,
to
I guess,
we'll have to go out with
right?
that yeah. one. Right, right. Well, so as we are here in this winter season, I wanted to make sure that each of you got to mention at least one place each for either hot drinks or hot vibes, hot chicken, maybe a cool concept. Jessica, Comet Coffee.
Yeah, so I was excited to get Comet Coffee in Shaw. It kind of on the corner there by Van Deventer, pretty close to the donut place. And Comet Coffee is a multi-roastery, which just means they do a lot of different beans from, you know, around the world. They don't just do like one. And the thing that I personally love at Comet Coffee is actually their pastries. They have ridiculous croissants.
Yes, that's
yes.
right.
And they have a whole Kirkwood bakery. When it opened, I talked to some of the bakers who said there was a positively American amount of butter in their croissants, which is why they're so good. Mm. So I can't wait to go get a coffee and a croissant there.
Mm-hmm. That took me back to when I was pregnant and looking for a croissant, and that's actually where I got it.
Speaking of pregnant, last year this time I was just craving sandwiches of any sort, specifically anything that had an ingredient like salami that I couldn't have. And this year I'm really leaning into soups and sandwiches already this winter, thinking about like the Gramophone and how they have just such a variety. You can go there a bunch of different times. It's got a cozy vibe to it. And the jalapeno popper soup is it's spicy, it's creamy, it will require a lactaid pill for a lot of folks,
oh.
but it is worth it. It is really tasty, and it'll kind of warm you up from the inside. It's a great little spot for in between doing your holiday errands.
Mm-hmm. And also a mention from our executive producer about their mac and cheese with red hot riblets crumbled on top.
I've seen that on the menu, but I haven't tried it. I will have to put it on the list.
Something maybe to look forward to. So in this wrap-up, we've been doing these restaurant opening and closing roundups this year. This has been a really big year in the St. Louis food scene. What stands out to each of you as being, you know, a really big happening that reveals something about where the St. Louis food scene is now? Abby?
I don't know how revelatory it is overall, but in this moment, I am thinking about the fact that we've had a lot of winter weather already to start this this December, end of November, start of December, and that's really hard on a lot of different restaurants. And so you've been hearing from all sorts of businesses the impact of changing consumers' habits, spending habits, tariff implications, all sorts of things that have just meant that every dollar we spend as consumers can mean a little bit more. That also applies for restaurateurs. So if you're really not sure what to ask for the holidays, restaurant gift cards. They will always appreciate that. It can help them offset some of these harder days when they might have to make a decision to shut down for the day because of weather, those kind of things. And if you're lucky, you have an inquiring family member who says, okay, I'll go try that restaurant at the same time I'm going in to buy a gift card for you. And there you go. You get to support local and you have a reservation to make yourself.
Mm-hmm. What stands out for you, Jessica?
You know, I was thinking about this, and there's a lot of trends. We've now been doing this, like, for a year, these conversations. But one of the biggest ones, I think, was, like, how many breweries have closed over the last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that really speaks to, like, the changing tastes in St. Louis, which has, you know, been such a beer town. But, like, a lot of these small microbreweries, like Arch Nemesis closed this month. Steampunk Brew Works closed last month. Well Spent, Ferguson Brewery. So we're still a beer town, but I think we're a lot less of a beer town.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
And I get to close with the last note here. I have been really impressed by how folks have come together to support each other with what went on with the tornado, businesses that were impacted by that. Folks just seem to really come together to rally around each other. Businesses that suffered fires, Gelateria is one of the ones that we talked about earlier on in this whole like monthly series.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward in the next year to seeing how these spaces and places sort of come back and make 2026 hopefully a year that is memorable for really good reason.
Looking forward to it. It's kind of a staple of St. Louis dining scene is for collaboration to be part of the recipe.
Mm-hmm. Abby Lurico is STLPR's morning newscaster and host of The Gateway, and Jessica Rogan is our digital editor. Jessica and Abby, thank you so much for joining us, and see you in January.
January 2026.
We'll see you then.
For the names and locations of all the spots we talked about today and more, visit our website. That's stlpr.org.
Today's episode was produced by our executive producer, Alex Hoyer.
And I, Elaine Cha. Podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
This segment was recorded by Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.